as no other, was large enough for six, but he had only to stretch out on it for his back to give him hell. A radiant crimson counterpane of imitation silk lay over it, and on the counterpane an innocent-looking cell phone, which he had been assured was modified to the highest state of encryption, and though he was of little faith in such matters, he could only suppose it was. Each time he passed it, his gaze fixed on it with a mixture of reproach, longing, and frustration.
"I regret to inform you, Paul, that you will be totally incommunicado, save for operational purposes throughout your mission."
The laborious South African voice of Elliot, his self-designated field commander, is warning him.
"Should an unfortunate crisis afflict your fine family during your absence, they will pass their concerns to your office's welfare department, whereupon contact with you will be made. Do I make myself clear, Paul?"
"You do, Elliot. Little by little, you do." Reaching the overlarge picture window at the further end of the room, he scowled upward through the grimy net curtains at Gibraltar's legendary rock, which, sallow, wrinkled, and remote, scowled back at him like an angry dowager. Yet again, out of habit and impatience, he examined his alien wristwatch and compared it with the green numeral.